Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. Glad you're here. We'll be in Acts chapter number 2. So if you have a Bible, Acts chapter number 2. Good to see you. I know it's wonderful Michigan weather out there. It's what we got. Glad you are here. I know some of you stuck at home online. Hi, everybody online. Glad that you're able to join with us this morning. But Acts chapter number 2. Some wonderful things going on at the church. This morning, I'm excited after our 11 o'clock gathering, we have something called our connection lunch. And so it's for new people in the church who want to get connected. What do I need to do to take that next step? So we have 47 people signed up this morning. I don't know what the snow will do to that, but just a really cool thing to see 47 new people going, hey, how do I get connected? So that's really, really awesome. All right, Acts chapter number 2. This month, we are studying, which we do often at the River Church, what is a biblical church? Do we, as the River Church, are we following what the Bible says a biblical church should do and should be? Do we follow what Scripture tells us? And this month, what we've done is we've gone to Acts chapter 1 and 2, and we are looking at the beginning of the church, how the church started. When Christ died on the cross, Christ rose again. And then 50 days later, Christ 40 days later ascended and told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and give them power to be witnesses. The church started, the Holy Spirit came so that they would witness of who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ did. In Acts chapter 2, we watch that happen. Peter, the apostle Peter begins to preach. He gives a message, and people turn and say, what should we do, Peter? What do we need to do? And Peter points them to repentance. He points them to receiving Jesus Christ, to come and be baptized, to accept Christ as their Savior. And Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find after, and verse 41 tells us about 3,000 souls were saved that day. And Acts chapter 42, 8:42 tells us then how the church gathered. What did they do? It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and of prayers. So we watch the gathering of the church. And if you've been around here a while, you've heard me say over and over again, we don't have a service. We don't call this a service. This is called a gathering. It's where the church comes together under the teachings of Christ. We have the word of God. We are called to fellowship, and that's more than just hanging out. We are called to give our lives to care for one another. The breaking of bread really pointing to Christ and the cross coming back to looking what Christ did for us, that he died on the cross and rose again. And then praying for one another, that we are called to go boldly before the throne to pray for one another. This is the gathering of the church. And last week, Pastor Chuck, our Grand Blanc location pastor, did a wonderful job in pointing then, what does it look like to grow? We grow into looking more like Jesus. So let's keep reading. It says, verse 44, all who believed were together, had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Here in this verse, chapter 44 and 45, Chuck touched on it last week as we grow to be more like Christ. But this week, we're really going to dive into verse 44 and 45. It's very interesting. This morning, I will preach on probably one of the most sensitive topics in the church. Probably one of the most sensitive topics I will preach on all year. For those of you out there, you can start making your list right now. Ooh, sensitive. Let me, come up with your top five. It's fine. And then this afternoon, when you're watching the Lions and whatever you're doing this afternoon, You can text me. This was my list, Pastor, sensitive things. But this morning, we look at the beginning of the church. They come to know the Lord, and then they become sensitive to something. They become sensitive to the needs of others. Here it says, the beginning of the church, they would sell some of their things. They would sacrifice some of their things to make sure those in need are taken care of. And so this morning, we're going to come and go, what does the church look like when it comes to giving? And I know some of you are like, oh man, the Sunday that I could have skipped because of snow, it's on giving. Yeah, it is. And so when you come, and some of you are new, and so I think about this sensitivity, right? Some of you are new, and so you come and you look at the pastor who speaks on giving and material things, and you're like, flags go up. Because you can think, wait, is this place just in it for me to come and to get into my pocketbook? Is this what the River Church is about? They're just wanting my money, isn't it? And it's an understandable red flag. Why? Because there are some churches that have set that precedent. It seems like that's what they're about. And especially if you don't know us or know the River, you're like, whoa. And then some of you, the red flag goes up because you've heard of churches, seen churches, been to churches that are, whenever they talk about giving, it always goes to health and wealth. Meaning, if you give, you're going to be healthy and wealthy. As long as you give to the church here, as long as you write a check every year, just wait, the Lord's going to make you healthy and wealthy. But when you read the scripture, you're like, man, not every follower of the Lord was healthy and wealthy. You look at the disciples after Christ, and history tells us that all of the John died as a martyr. You see sickness, you see pain. And so then when you hear a pastor get up there and go, as long as you give, you'll be healthy and wealthy. And then you look at your life and go, man, I'm giving to the Lord, but not everything is healthy and wealthy. Well, because the Bible doesn't say everything will be healthy and wealthy if you give. But what does it say? Maybe you're here and you've been here a while, and so you look at me and you trust me as a pastor. And you've been around the River Church and you go, I know this isn't what the River Church is about. The River Church is about the gospel, about reaching, gathering, and growing. Do you know this is still a sensitive topic? Why? Because you have bills to pay this week. If some of you are struggling in bills and some of you are struggling with money, and we look at divorce in our country, what's at the top of the list? Why are people getting divorced? Money. Problems and struggles because of material things. And so giving can still be sensitive. Even if you're at a church and go, man, I trust our church, I love our church, I give to the church, it still can be sensitive. It also can be sensitive. We live in a country, we have more excess wealth than ever before. I will just look at me. I'm really good at wasting money sometimes. And what's easy for me, it's easy for me to wrap my hand around material things and to make too much of it. And so this morning, as we look and to see what is a biblical church, we come to the teaching of giving. What does that look like? Many of you who have been around, you know my knee has been messed up for the last couple months. And so I had surgery last Friday, doing so much better. And I told my wife, I think it was Wednesday, I look at her and I said, I think I remember how to walk. I really did. And it's like, I have been walking for 45 years. But the last couple months, because of something in my knee has become really sensitive. So you'll see me, I usually, before the surgery, I'd walk around like this. Because I knew if I locked my leg, I wouldn't step out and hit that sensitive mark. Like it could, I thought preaching too, if I did that and fell over, it'd be really distracting. And so I learned to walk differently, trying not to hit that sensitive point. But now in this last week, I've really had to learn to walk. I've had to learn like, oh, I can reach my leg. Okay, I'm all right. I could reach out into that sensitive spot. Now, I could just go, man, I'm just going to walk like this for the rest of my life. Or I have to go, hey, am I going to be brave and try to keep working through to get back to walking? And I tell you that story because I think in giving, it is sensitive. And if we're not careful, we can shy away from that sensitive teaching and then not know how to walk as a church. I will tell you as a pastor, probably too much I've shied away from talking on this because I don't want anybody to think that pastor's about money. That is a horrific thought. To say, hey, we are not about the gospel, not about the giving the Lord's called us to. But I think that the teaching of the Bible is so important. And I see us as a world that money, for many of us, it's hurting us. It's not the gift from God that's furthering us in our relationship with the Lord. It's something that's controlling us. It's something that's hurting us. It's this money, it's not feeding us, it's eating us. And so to have a right perspective on what the Lord has given us and what to do with it is really important. It's important in our walk with the Lord. So this morning, we're going to dive into Scripture, what we do every week, and look, what does the Bible tell us about giving? Let's pray. We'll dive in. Lord, we just pray for your help this morning. Lord, you know every heart in here. I think of the new people in here this morning. Lord, may they see a heart of a church that's called to be sensitive to giving because we love you and trust you and want people to know you. I pray for those in here who are struggling in this topic. But I know it's so easy to wall up for them, and may they just hear from you this morning that they'll grow in knowing you and trusting you and seeing you, Lord. So I just pray for help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So back to Acts chapter 2. When the people got saved, they became sensitive to what? The needs of others. Listen, giving is sensitive. It's supposed to be. If we are a Christian, we're called to be sensitive to the needs of others. You'll see this in Acts 2. If you flip over to Acts chapter 4, it says the same type of thing. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. What you see in the beginning of the church is they would take care of each other. Now, these verses kind of freak people out sometimes. They're like, all right, are you just telling we all need to pile it all? Everybody, we're going to have one bank. Is that what happened? I don't think so. I don't think that exactly happened. Why? Because they still had homes. It says they still met in their homes. So it doesn't look like they just went, okay, throw it all in a pile. That's not what happened. What you see is that the people were sensitive to those who were in need. It is what Christ calls Christians to be sensitive to the needs. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 gives us specifics in this area of giving, specifics when it comes to the needs of others. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says, now it is unnecessary for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about to you, about you to the people of Macedonia. Now, whenever we pick up a passage of Scripture like in the middle of a letter and like don't know what's going on, it's really hard to be like, I don't know what's happening. So let me give you a little groundwork to this. The church in Corinth, they had set out as a church to give to another church, the Church of Jerusalem. They had set out that we're gonna put together a fund because we know the church in Jerusalem, that local church, is hurting. And so they had committed this ministry saying, hey, we're gonna get together and we're gonna figure out how we can take care and care for that church. And so Paul, leading this, says, hey, I know the commitment that you have made. He says, it's unnecessary for me to remind you. I know you know of this commitment. And as you read these next couple verses, you'll find the words that, like, they were ready. They were eager. Even, I love the King James Version here. It says it was a forwardness of your mind. It was on the front of their mind to what? To be sensitive to the needs of others. As you read this, you'll find that they had committed to this. And so Paul was reminding of this. And really, it seems like he's going, hey, I don't want you to forget of your commitment. This is an amazing thing we get to do. At the end of this paragraph right here, look in verse 5. He says this. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you had promised. And this is what he says. So that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction, or not as a gift that is an obligation or that comes from this grudging spirit. He's saying, church, we're giving to this. This isn't like, this is what you're obligated to give. This is the tax of the church. Make sure when you walk out the door, put it in the box. This is what we do. Paul speaks about when the giving to the church, he says, this should be something on the front of our mind for us to be eager, sensitive, to take care of the needs of others. And specifically says, this isn't like, don't do this out of a grudging spirit. Don't do this as, what one commentary described it like this, said giving, Christian giving, how God's called us to give is not a tax. It's not just a tax you pay. It's something we're called to do out of our heart. We're called to be faithful. We're called to be sensitive. This pastor said it this way. He said, the federal government cannot enforce this logic. Meaning, could you imagine if there was a verse in the Bible that said, hey, when it comes to the government, the Bible tells us that we're to give to Caesar's as to Caesar, to obey our governor. We're called to pay taxes. But imagine if there was a verse out there in the government that said, hey, when you're taxed by the government, give as you feel the government needs. When you buy the car this year, I don't think you'll pay the same amount of tax. It's just a guess of mine, but I think you would give differently when you're, you know, that tax of your house is coming up here pretty soon. And so if you were like, just give as you feel like the government has need, go ahead and give that way. It would change. I don't think taxing would go along very well in our country, would it? But when it comes to the church, Paul says, hey, I don't want you to give out of grudging. I don't want you to give out of like, this is your commission. I want you to give as one who looks out for the needs of others. I want you, because Christ has saved you, he's given you a new life, to have a heart that looks to take care of others. This is the heart of giving. Now, I do want to show you something I think is very interesting. Just a chapter before this, in chapter 8. Chapter 8 and 9 are talking about the church giving. And I think it's interesting in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20, Paul says, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administrated by us. He says, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Now, I found this interesting, because what Paul is doing, when Paul is talking to the church about this gifts, what Paul does, he sends three other honorable men to take care of it. It's like Paul steps back and goes, my hand's not going to be, I want you to see so that nobody will accuse me, or there is this gift and people will think we're just scammers and manipulators. I want you to see there's accountability in what we're doing. Not only do we need to be accountable to God, but we need to be accountable to man. I think this is a great example for the church today and how we should follow it. That we are called, I will tell you, as an elder at the River Church, it is a great responsibility for me to lead in a way that we are good stewards of what God blesses us with. It is a great responsibility. I do not take lightly. Many of you give faithfully. I will tell you, last year in Waterford, Church, you gave faith. There was a great blessing of giving in our church. It was an amazing thing. But as Paul said, hey, I don't want you to think there are scammy things going on. We are called to be honorable to God. To do what? To meet the needs of those around us. And when we look at the church, what is the church doing? What are we doing? When you give, this is about us caring for people. So some of that giving goes to the food bank and the baby pantry. Some of that goes to helping jail ministry. Some of that goes to egg hunt. Some of that goes to turn the lights on and the heat on so it's not freezing in here today. Some of that goes to paying for the staff that I will tell you I'm very grateful for. We have, I don't know, 7 full-time staff just in Waterford here, right? Because of the giving, I look at Mitchell, our children's director, and Justin, our student director. They don't have to have a separate job. Every week, they get to go into Mott High School. They get to go into Grayson Middle School because they don't have another job. This is what they get to do, to go and love the community, care for the community. And ultimately, our goal is to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the desire. So I look at Paul going, hey, we want you to know there's to be accountability. It is why I'll tell you all the time, you can see whatever you want to see with the giving at the church. You don't have to be the third level member, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. I just made it up. You can come see what we spend. What is this? What was spent out of this thing? What is spent here? What is this step? You can ask whatever you want to. We want to be open and honest, accountable to God and accountable to men. But I will tell you, ultimately, we're called to be a church of people who's sensitive to give to the needs of others. This is a heart thing. It's not a tax thing. It's how, because Christ has saved us, I will tell you, if you're new here, it's always interesting preaching on giving. I see new people and I always think, man, I don't want them to think this is the bullseye. No, the bullseye is to honor the Lord. And I want you to see that we're a church, and I want us to continue to grow a church, that you'll come here and go, man, that is a church that is sensitive to the needs of others. That is a church that, because of their love for Christ, they seek to love others. That's financially, that's their time. That has there been a time in your life when that person stepped into the middle of your life and they gave to you in that time of need? You think of that person, maybe they gave to you financially, or maybe they gave up night after night after night to care for you and to love you. I bet you haven't forgot that person. I was just thinking about this as a young man, and when I first got married, and I was an intern here, and my wife was a substitute teacher, and we bought a house in Waterford that, thankfully, the walls were not leaning, but everything else was a mess. And I just remember the people that cared for my family at that time. I remember people coming over and painting walls for me, and people getting up on the roof and fixing the roof, and a guy crawling into the attic with me, showing me how to do ductwork in the attic. And I just thought of people who had a heart to take care of those in need. And I think about that time in my life, it was such a blessing. Listen, church, we're called to have that heart to care for people in need. To be sensitive to the need of others. Let's keep reading verse 6. It's going to get a little heavier. The Bible says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. Here you'll find, as you read through these next few verses, chapter 6, or verse 6 through verse 11, you'll find the Bible says that if we know the Lord, we are called to be sensitive to give generously. It gives an illustration here for those of us in Waterford. It gives a farming illustration. And, you know, lots of farm fields out there in Waterford. No, it gives a farm illustration. It says, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully. So there's this picture of thinking of someone planting seed going, okay, I'm going to put that seed there. I'm going to put that seed there. And it's this picture of someone sowing sparingly or someone sowing bountifully, taking the seed and spreading it out on the dirt. I was talking with one of our pastors. We think the better illustration here is like when you go to the Waterford Parade and there's that person in the car with candy and they're taking one piece of candy and launching it to the side. You just look at, and then there's that one car where this person, like, you know, gets down into the bin of candy and is like, you know, launches it. Like the reaping of kids just running to that pile, right? But just this picture of God saying, if you know the Lord, do you trust the Lord in everything? Well, I trust the Lord in my salvation. I trust the Lord in forgiveness. I trust the Lord in hope. I trust the Lord with my bank. Well, I don't know about that one. And he's saying, trust the Lord. Give generously. And there's this picture of sowing bountifully and watch what the Lord will do. Watch the blessing of the Lord. Watch what the Lord will pour out. Verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here again, it doesn't say there's a percentage to give, or this is what it says, hey, this is not done under compulsion. Matter of fact, if you're not going to give with a cheerful, joyous heart, you can keep it. Here, the Lord calls us to be sensitive to the need, sensitive to give generously. Now, you can hear this, and if you want to think selfishly, you can go, good, Lord doesn't call me to do anything. My heart, I have decided in my heart, I'm going to give nothing. I'm good. Lord's happy with me. And you miss the point. You miss that. No, the Lord commands us to give. Commands us to trust him. Commands us to be sensitive to the needs of others and to be generous. But it's a heart thing to seek the Lord. And look at verse 10. It says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So what is it saying here? Some people have used this verse to say, hey, if you give to the Lord, just watch your bank account increase. If you give to the Lord, watch how you're going to get more. And I will tell you, if you sow in greed, you're going to reap greedful things. Like we don't give. What the Lord is saying is, what I have called you to give, you can trust me. You can trust me in it all. Watch when you will take everything of your life and you will trust me. Do I think this is talking about financial? I do. I think you trust the Lord. Watch how the Lord is good. Now, I'm not talking about give a dollar. God's going to give you $5. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, can you trust the Lord in everything in your life? And if the Lord, when you prayerfully seek the Lord, verse 7 says, in your heart, to take time to not just kind of, sort of, when I feel like it. No, seek the Lord. And when the Lord calls you to be sensitive, the Lord calls you to be generous, you can trust him. And the question is, do we believe the scripture here? You can trust that when the Lord calls you to give, he will supply. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19 says it this way, says they are to do good, speaking of the rich, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that it may take hold of that which is life. You can see the Lord calls us to be sensitive, to give. I like what one man said. He said, many times when people talk about giving, they talk about either you're in the church, you're either to give out of your surplus because God bless you, or to give out of what God's going to give you. But he said, in this passage, it speaks of neither. Paul says, faith is trusting in God to meet our needs in the present that we may give to the needs of others. That we as believers, we don't simply give out a surplus, nor do we give out of going, I'm going to give and God's going to give me more money back. We give in faith to trust the Lord. Go back to verse 11. It says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous, in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, it's not only taking care of this physical need, but also is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And this last point here is that we're called to be sensitive to give in worship. When the Bible talks about worship, here it says we give in worship. It says we give, as you keep reading, to give glory to the Lord. What was really awesome is he was telling the people in Corinth, you're going to give, and you know what's going to happen? Not only is your giving going to give worship to the Lord, watch what this is going to do. This is going to overflow, and these people now are going to give worship to the Lord because of your sacrifice. I will tell you, ultimately as a church, we are called to give. Why? So that we give worship to the Lord, so that people also will see how good God is, to see a church that is sacrificial, to see a church that cares about them, that they will see a church that go, man, this is different. Those people actually care. They give sacrificially. They give with their time and they give with their money. They'll give whatever it takes. Why? Because there must be something different in their life. And there is. It's Jesus Christ. He's changed our life. Is he real? Do we trust him to go, God, you're the God of everything. And Lord, if you call me to give whatever that is, I know you'll take care of it. Because Lord, you have saved my life. The gospel has transformed my life. And if that, whatever you call me, will influence somebody else to give you worship, will influence somebody else to know Christ and to worship him. That is what we're called to be, and that's what we're called to do. To give sensitively to the people need, to people in need, to sensitively give generously, to be sensitive and see that our giving is worship. Here at the Waterford location, different staff here, and I love that different staff has different backgrounds. So Phil, Mitchell, our children's director, Amy, they all grew up in the church. They're churchies, right? Their parents raised them up in church, and so when the topic of giving, I think about them hearing, I also grew up in church. Like, I grew up a churchy, right? Like, in the church. But then, like, Justin, our student director, didn't grow up in the church. Didn't have believer parents. Not till he was a little bit later on in life and went through a bunch of struggle, just struggled. And then, I just think with Joy, I remember him showing up, sitting back there, telling me, hey, I think we're going to have to sit down, so I just need to talk about some things. And Justin came to know the Lord, but his eyes are afresh. I think about that as some of you. You come into a church, and maybe you haven't grown up in the church, but you hear someone talk about giving, and you can have pause. And so I asked Justin, I said, Justin, you came in, you came to know the Lord, and I said, what did you think about giving? And he said to me, he said, honestly, I wish you'd have been more forceful in telling me that giving was a part of my worship. That I needed to trust God in all of it, and that I could. So this morning, to speak on a very sensitive topic, I want you to see what the church is called to be. We're We're called to be sensitive to give. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, church, you must meet the needs of others. You must be generous. Not a tax, but definitely a commandment. That we're called to be generous, that it's part of our worship and trusting the Lord. Why? Because we want to worship Jesus, and we want people to know Christ as their Savior. This morning, if you are a part of the River Church, I do want to challenge you. I want you to see this passage, and like in verse 7, when it talks about to give as one is decided in their heart and not reluctantly and under compulsion, I just want to challenge you to see that giving, when the Bible talks about giving, it isn't just a casual or impulsive thing. It is something to commit to. I want to challenge you, if you're a part of the River Church, that would you pray this week to not just do this kind of casually, but seek the Lord. I tell you, my wife and I, this is what we will do this week. Lord, lead us to give this year how you want us to give. Seek the Lord about it. See what he wants. See what he places. It may actually challenge you. You may actually cancel Netflix. That would be awesome. $7.97 a month. Could you imagine, man, one less Starbucks a week? And I'm just talking to myself because I think about all the things that are easy to waste. Listen, God has blessed us. Thankful for it. The Bible talks about we can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But we're called to trust the Lord in that blessing. And so I would challenge you. Pray about it. How would the Lord call you to commit? What would that look like for you this year to seek the Lord in it and give cheerfully to praise him? When you do give at the River Church, a lot of people go, how does that work? Well, we have a general fund that goes to all the things that I talked about earlier, like our events and to our reach ministry, our gather ministry, our grow ministry. It goes to our staff. This year, we're doing something specific, and maybe you'd be interested. This year, we're doing a missions fund that you can give when you go online. You can give directly to missions at the church as we not only support the local mission, not only support like our local locations, but we also support missionaries around the world. Africa and the Philippines. You can go on our website and there's details of what they're doing and what's going on. We just thought, elders, this year, just a way that we could specifically give to them. I want you to know about that. But church, I just want us to see how the Lord has called us to walk. Many times money's not helping us, it's hurting us. So how do we see what the Lord has blessed us with to be used as a tool to worship him, used as a tool to glorify him, and used as a tool to show people the amazing love of Jesus? Let's stand together. It's okay to not clap for that one. I get it, all right? Get it. No, I wasn't calling for a clap. I was just being funny. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, thankful that we're in a church that we don't shy away from difficult topics, but we know these are specific things you teach us. Lord, I see so many people hurting because of material things, because of the lies that they believe it'll bring peace, and we know it doesn't. May we live a life that just relies on you, seeks you, has a heart that is sensitive to care for others. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.